And you remember the first day when you got saved? How exciting that was. And what a joy we get to hear several testimonies today. And God is still on the move, isn't he? So let's begin this time with a word of prayer. Father, we come before you in great gratitude that you have saved our souls. We are unworthy. You are so generous. And so we ask, Lord, as Jonathan and Gina Velez come and give their testimonies, and as Sharon and Jerry Ortiz come and share what God has done in their lives, Lord, that you bless them and bless our hearts as we see afresh and anew that you are the living God. So we praise your name. Amen. So we're going to have maybe Jonathan or Gina come. All right, Gina, would you come? What a joy it's been to get to know you, sister, and to hear how God brought you to himself. God bless you.
Okay. I'd like to start with a verse, Psalm 34:6. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all of his troubles. I was raised by my mom and grandma. My dad wasn't in the picture. When I was just a baby, my mom joined a cult called the Worldwide Church of God that was led by Herbert Armstrong. Though it was a cult, we read the Bible and we prayed. We celebrated all the Jewish holidays. We were not allowed to celebrate Easter or Christmas or birthdays, but instead we kept Jewish dietary laws and we celebrated the Hebrew holidays. We were kosher, of course. We couldn't eat pork or shellfish or gelatin, and there's a really strict dress code. It was extremely legalistic. I had a form of godliness, but denied the true power of Christ to change me, which was mentioned in 2 Timothy. I can recall the Lord calling me to salvation and drawing me to himself throughout my life. Sadly, I never heard the clear gospel till I was around 14 or 15. My mom's faith was her faith. She never taught me about applying the Bible to my life, never prayed specifically with or for me. It wasn't until much later in my life that I developed a personal relationship with the Lord. My grandma, who was like a mom to me and a wonderful example of Christ's love, passed when I was 12 and my mom married actually for the first time. She and my stepdad then together began to attend the Worldwide Church of God. Though they had four children of their own, my half-siblings that I actually ended up helping to raise, I was an outcast in my own home. I remember feeling like an orphan as far back as I can remember. I wanted a father in my life that was caring. After my mom and stepdad got married, I no longer lived at home long term. I often lived with different friends or with family. I met my birth father when I was 14. He ended up being abusive toward me, so at age 20, I finally decided to end that relationship with him. Psalm 27:10 is an orphan's prayer. For though my father and mother have forsaken me, but the Lord will take me up. Between my mother being disinterested and even antagonistic to me growing up and the absence of a right relationship with my dad, I struggled with understanding God as my father, but now I know he is the perfect father. Amen. When I was about 14, the Lord called me to read the Bible. It was really random. He called me to start with Revelation, and I fell in love with it. Talk about jumping into the deep end of the pool. It was at that time that God awakened me, and I began to read his word. Throughout my late teen years and early 20s, the Lord continued to call me, but I believe it wasn't until about 5 years ago that I was really born again. Each year since then, I have grown, I have changed, and he has got a hold of me, and I stopped trying to run from conviction of sin. I stopped and confessed the sin in so many areas of my life: deceit, self-destructive behavior, dishonoring my parents. The list was unending. At that time, I trusted in Christ for his forgiveness, and he saved me. As 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, I became a new creation. The Holy Spirit took up residence in my heart. I have seen measurable growth in my life since I came to know Christ. The things in the world that did not bother me now are distasteful and repulsive. I now have a hunger and illumination in the Word. Psalm 34:4 says, I sought the Lord and he answered me, and he delivered me from all my fears. Yet I still struggle with sin. Paul says that the things I want to do, I don't do. I long to be completely free from the old life and put on Christ. When I was a new Christian and battling such sins as an eating disorder, it was so helpful to know that I have the mind of Christ. And as 2 Corinthians 10:5 says, we are to take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. As I come from membership today at Living Hope, I want to confess that Jesus Christ is the rock of my salvation. He is my El Shaddai. It's my favorite name for the Lord. If you take it in part in Hebrew, it means powerful and all-sufficient one, and also has a root of, like, nursing mother. So it speaks of intimacy and protection and love. And the scripture I'd like to end with is Isaiah 30:18. Therefore, the Lord longs to be gracious to you, and therefore he waits on high to have compassion on you. For the Lord is a God of justice. How blessed are those who long for him.
I've gotten a privilege to get to know Jonathan and Gina, and it's amazing. Every time I see Jonathan, he's got at least one, but usually two or three kids holding in his arms. And what an amazing testimony his wife has. We share similar pathways and being saved from that darkness. My mom was involved in that same cult, and praise God for his light. And what a joy it has also been to see the amazing testimony and walk of Jonathan Velez and his example as a humble follower of Jesus, and pretty happy father too. So would you come and give your testimony?
I'm Puerto Rican. Many people do not believe this because they see me and they say, surely you're Irish or German or something like that. And I say, no. Actually, I am 100% Hispanic. My grandfather on my mother's side, he was a Spaniard. So I got the European color going on. So people are often deceived. But yeah, my mother was first generation. My dad was born on the island, so I am Puerto Rican. And I'm proud of it. Don't judge a book by its cover. It's my life story. All right. I was born in Chicago, and I was blessed to be raised in a Christian home. My father is a committed Christian and made sure that me and my siblings heard the gospel from a young age. And I can relate with Paul's words to Timothy, how from childhood you've been acquainted with the sacred writings which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. I knew I was a sinner in need of a Savior. At age 7, separate from everyone and on my own, I began to have a deep hunger for Christ. There was a conviction. I'm so grateful I was familiar with the gospel from the time I was a little child. I knew Jesus had to die for me because I was a sinner. In 1 Peter 3:18, we read that for Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh but made alive in the spirit. I saw my need for Christ. God drew me to himself and gave me a deep desire to call out unto his Son as Savior and Lord. At that moment, God saved me. Immediately, he put me to be part of his community, his family. As Paul says in Ephesians 2:19, so then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. And actually, an imagery that I will forever have embedded in my head of that time, it was actually in the middle of the night, and I was lying in bed, and I was praying to God, and everyone was asleep but me, which often happened because I was a very hyper child. And I remember in my prayer to God, I told him that I wish I could just take my heart out of my body and attach it to helicopter rotors and send it up to him. And, you know, kids. There, yeah. So when I came to Christ, I had an immediate crucible and a testing of my faith because of my parents' divorce. I was not able to stay with my father, who was devout in his Christian life. I was allowed to visit him for a week at a time during the year at different times. He always encouraged me to continue growing in Christ. My mom professes to be a Christian, but the fruits of her lifestyle speak to the contrary. After she divorced my father, she married her high school sweetheart, who was an atheist. And initially, when we moved to New York, we continued to attend church regularly, but soon we became the Creasters, only attending church on Christmas and Easter. I was so thankful to be born again, but my faith was greatly tested when we moved to New York. Yet I can confidently say that God kept his promise that he would never leave me nor forsake me. I never fell away from Christ, even though I was prohibited by my mother from going to church. I dealt with a lot of discouragement and disappointment with not getting to be with God's people. I wanted to live with my dad so that I could have an active Christian life. My father always encouraged my faith. He would write me at times 5 or 6 page letters. I called them his mini sermons, but they were never mini. And so my father fought the fight of faith right alongside me, even though we were separated by 1,000 miles. I really wanted to be back with my dad, who was faithfully serving Christ. And finally, when I was 14, I was able to move back with my father. And I went through a real revival in my life and finally began to be able to attend church services again.
Praise the Lord. What a joy it is to have Jerry and Sharon Ortiz come and to hear the amazing story of God's wonderful and infinite grace. And truly, I see them bearing fruit on a constant basis and see the presence of God just glowing from them. And sometimes I have to put a veil over my face, but praise God, He's alive. And I know that because I see Him in this couple. And so if you all would come, I don't know who wants to go first. Jeremiah said he would go first.
Amen. God bless you. Hey. Can you hear me? Okay. Okay. Praise God.
Amen.
He's so good. My childhood should have been great. I had two loving parents. You guys know the Blayhas. My mom homeschooled us, and I was a pastor's kid. I grew up in Chicago. I considered myself a city girl. My parents' genuine love and zeal for the Lord was evident. They would worship in song all the time. It was like the sound of music. And I remember Dad calling out in prayer throughout the day, Mom's attempts to teach the Bible. I say attempts because I resisted almost everything she lovingly tried to teach me. The church we attended then was called Gospel Outreach, and it was ironically not centered on the gospel. I remember personal prophecies, speaking in tongues, people falling backwards on the floor during prayer, and even violently shaking sometimes. Religion to me was rules. Don't play with Barbies or watch The Little Mermaid. Dress modestly. Don't listen to ungodly music. I do remember being sick to my stomach anytime I sinned up until about 9 and coming clean to Mom about various sins. And I got baptized and I said the sinner's prayer early on. But I never really connected my sin to my need of a Savior. I didn't realize the mercy and grace of God. I didn't realize that, you know, His finished work on the cross was good forever. So I would recite the sinner's prayer every time I felt guilty. I remember thinking, I hope I can say the prayer when Jesus starts coming down in order to finish before He comes, you know, before He gets here. I would look at the sky in dread, you know, thinking that I was going to go to hell. So the prayer didn't have power, but I believed in the prayer. And as time went on, I became resentful toward all the rules, all the restrictions. I felt boxed in. I didn't like being homeschooled. I wanted to be free. I felt like my parents were so strict. So, and then it was like the world was just like this, like, this bad place, you know, that I couldn't touch. So I felt trapped. I hated my parents. I began lying and leading a double life. Apparently, I was not saved. Eventually, I just stopped considering God completely. And I met Jerry, my husband, at 14. He became my biggest idol. And when I turned 16, he told me he cheated on me. My whole life fell apart. I just kind of spiraled downward. I was in the world completely. Every chance I got, every freedom I got, I would just do whatever I could to just be out of my mind. I put myself in really bad situations, really dangerous situations, really stupid things, really dumb. My mouth was full of cursing, and I was just completely dead in my sin. Jerry and I were off and on. We tried to make things work. I didn't respect him because I was perfect, and he was a liar and a cheater, you know. But that's not true. Just that's how I felt. I became pregnant when I was 18 during one of our off and on times. And I was unmarried and unwilling to commit to him. I became a single mom. That was actually a blessing because I was so destructive that having Jaden, my 12-year-old, actually kind of kept me restricted a little bit. And I didn't have as much freedom to just be in the world. So that was a blessing from the Lord. Anyway, we were moving around a lot. I was getting kicked out of my apartments. I had a girlfriend cheat on me. That didn't sound right. I had a girlfriend steal my money and put my account in the negative. I didn't have anywhere to go, so I ended up moving in with Jerry. And we were doing well. We were planning on getting married, and I came clean to him about some of my past sin. And he became very angry at me, and he didn't want to be with me anymore. So I remember sitting alone crying, feeling completely hopeless. And I knew I had nowhere to go and no one to turn to. And I knew I didn't want to be there. And it was literally like from one moment to the next, God changed me. He made me alive together with Christ. I instantly knew how wretched I was. I remembered what I had heard as a child, that Christ had died on the cross for my sins. And it was like a wave of impartation. I just had faith. I cried, I wept over my sin, I repented and gave my life to Christ. It was finally clear that he had paid it all. And I'm so grateful for the blood that was shed for me, and he has cleansed me. I described it as being clean, like new linens that smelled good. There was no more power in a prayer, there was power in his blood. And it was amazing because I wasn't looking for God. He didn't cross my mind ever. My sinful deeds were done with no remorse. There was no explanation for his mercy and grace other than his great love for me. There's nothing else. There's no human deed. There's no kindness that compares to the love of God. He's worthy, and I will worship him forever. Ephesians 2, 1 through 9 says, "And you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind. And we were by nature children of wrath like the rest of mankind. But God, being rich in mercy because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, he made us alive together with Christ. And by grace you have been saved and raised us up with him. He seated us in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming age he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you've been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is a gift of God, not a result of work, so that no one may boast." God woke me up that day. It was all him. It's not of myself. It's a gift of God. My only boast is in Jesus Christ and what he's done for me. So my life since I came to know Christ, I have a love for God's people. I have a love for the word. The enemy has no power. I can see my sin now. I can choose to obey God. I'm trusting in his bloodshed as the payment for my sins. And although I do still battle sin, I'm growing in obedience to the word and in the fruit of the spirit. Jerry and I were married in 2009, and this is just a testimony, an addition, you know, because this happened. We carried into the marriage a lot of bitterness and anger toward each other and just a lot of baggage. And God is so good just to bring us to himself and to bring us into places where we're just face to face with him alone. And that's what he did during that time. And he became everything to me during that time. He became my shelter. He became the lover of my soul, my best friend, my deliverer. And he answered my prayers. He saved Jerry a year ago. Yeah, praise God. And it's amazing to finally be with him and to be saved together as a couple. It's so awesome. And I'm so excited to see what God is going to do in our marriage and in this church. I'm excited to be here. I'm excited to grow with you guys and get to know you guys. And it's a blessing. So 1 Corinthians 1:27 says, "God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong." And Psalm 73:25 through 26, "This is my heart. Whom have I in heaven but you, Lord? And there is nothing on earth that I desire besides you. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever." So my confession of Christ is, as I come for membership at Living Hope today, I want to confess that Jesus Christ is my Savior. He's everything to me. He's my life, my rock, my all in all. There is nothing in the world worth living for if it doesn't bring glory to him. And when I stand before God and he asks me, if he does ask me why I should go, why he should let me in, it's solely because of what Christ has done on the cross. So a couple of verses, 1 John 4:19, we love him because he first loved us. And 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Thank you.
Praise God. God's alive. And we're going to have another witness to the living God come right now. Jerry Ortiz, my dear brother, my friend. Sometimes he'll be driving and encourage me, call me. Can't wait to hear your testimony, brother.
Well, I'm Puerto Rican. I guess God wanted the Puerto Ricans to come up and give the testimony today. God saves Puerto Ricans too, yep. My life before Christ. I was born in the Bronx, New York. I was raised with my mom and two older sisters. My grandmother took care of me at times, and she attended church. She was a Pentecostal believer who had come out of the Catholic Church. We moved to Chicago when I was a baby. I remember once a bus picked me up to go to church, but for the most part, I had very little to do with church. Most of the time when my mom was at work, I was roaming the streets. My mom cared about me, but when she was at work, which was most of the time, I would be out playing with my friends. When I was 9 years old, my mom got married, and we moved to Puerto Rico. My stepdad had built a house on my mom's land. He was very kind at first, before he was married to my mom. After he married my mom, he stopped talking to me altogether. He was very jealous and controlling. He had been through many marriages before. At that time, my life was spiritually dormant. I knew there was a God, but that was the extent of it until a few years later when I was a teenager. Even though I wasn't seeking God, God was seeking me. One night, I remember gazing up at the stars. It was late, and the stars were glimmering. What a beautiful, warm night it was. I looked up at the stars. I prayed, God, life has to be more than this. And I started thinking and praying, God, where are you? I didn't know it, but God would one day reveal himself to me and bring me to salvation. I had attended the Catholic Church, but there was an emptiness there. The churches were very beautiful, but they had so many statues and symbolism, and the people were very empty. There was no true presence of God there. It was empty. Often, I saw my stepfather go right from church to the bar with many other members. I knew this could not be the real thing. As the Bible says, they had form of godliness, but they had no true power there. I also remembered a church by my grandma's home that was often active at night singing to the Lord. It was a Pentecostal church. I didn't think much about it. But one night, I went to another church that was by my house, a Baptist church. I remembered going through the front door and hearing a man preaching about Jesus. It started raining outside, so I had a good reason to go inside. Everything he was saying sounded truthful. There was no doubt in my mind that whatever this man was saying was pointed directly at me. I was in the entry doors, and I kept listening. At the end, he asked if anyone would want to trust in Jesus as Lord and Savior. I ignored it. But after service, he walked up to me. I knew him because he was my cousin's husband, and he was very friendly. He started praying, and he asked if anyone wanted to pray to receive Jesus. I told him I wanted to. I was about 15 years old at this time. I made a profession of faith at this time. I had a hunger for God, but then it waned away. Christ was present in my life. I did read the Bible and pray from time to time, yet it didn't last. I was not yet saved, but God was drawing me in a powerful way. After some time, I came back to Chicago. I was 17 years old. Felt like I had a gift. The Holy Spirit was active in moving me to come to God. I met Sharon. I was at that point that I didn't want to be single. Sadly, I started hanging around with bad people. Fell away from the Lord. From there on, I ignored my calling and did whatever I wanted to do. I kept making bad choices, and God kept pursuing me. I made wrong choices with Sharon. We were both foolish. Eventually, my bad decision will catch up to me. I started being angry at God. I had an anger against him because I felt like he owed me since my upbringing was so difficult. Each time I considered returning to the Lord, I would suddenly get gripped by the world again. This continued until just recently. One instance of this was when Sharon and I were living together with our first child. We were unmarried, and yet I could hear the call of God. I knew I needed to return to him. The Lord did not allow things to work out with me and Sharon at the time. I had come from a broken home, and so this broken home thing just broke me. To not be with the mother of my child, it meant a lot to me. I fell into a great depression for about 4 years. Then one day, out of the blue, I laid down on my bed, and I started crying to God. Again, I said, "You do with my life what you will. I'm tired of fighting." I said, "If you want me to be with this woman, then I will be with her. And if it's not your will, then I won't." And I cried myself to sleep. Then I remembered something amazing happened the very next day. Sharon called me out of the blue. And at that time, we barely ever talked. So this was really unusual. She said, "I think God told me I should marry you." I was in disbelief. I remember telling her, "You're crazy, and I gotta go." And I hung up. It was scary to me. We had been broken up for 4 years. I believed that God was answering my prayer, but I was in disbelief. Yet by the end of the week, we started to see each other again. I wanted to do the right thing, but we were still stumbling and falling into the wrong things. I thought I was a Christian then, but I had no new nature. I had even got baptized, but I really just got wet. I was still lost in my sins. Eventually, the Lord led my wife and I to be married. I went into my marriage wanting to marry her, but I also had a defensive wall up that if it didn't work out, I wasn't going through depression again. In that process, there was no real trust towards her. We got married a year later in February of 2010. After we were married, since there was no trust, our marriage was very difficult. I was a prisoner to our past. God sent a lot of people into our lives to help us. I attended church. We would go to church regularly now, but I wasn't actively reading the word or praying or walking with God. I thought it was because I was just a baby in my faith. But the truth is that though God was drawing me, I was still unconverted. How I came to know Christ. About a year ago, God did a great work in me, and he brought me to himself. Didn't happen because I prayed the sinner's prayer or did some religious ritual. The Spirit of the living God worked in me through suffering and trials. I had treated my wife unfairly. Anytime I got angry or upset, gave me a reason to sin. This continued until she decided, "I'm not going to be with you because of the matters." That's when I felt great conviction. This conviction of my own sin crushed me. And I was ready to receive the grace of Christ. I was so broken and saw my need for Christ, I couldn't believe that I ended up in a situation where I almost lost my marriage. Finally, I could see Christ's grace in my life. I could not deny that I needed him more than I could imagine. Because of my sins, my Lord was crushed on the cross. I truly trusted him in that moment as my Lord and Savior. I didn't pray it or say it. It was an instantaneous mourning and awakening in Christ. I was made alive, like Lazarus coming out of the grave. It was like Jesus commanded me to come out of my dead life, and he made me alive. I remember Sharon, my wife, telling me, "Mourning is good." I thought, "What are you talking about?" But she was absolutely right. It was good. I repented to God, to my wife, to my kids, and I decided to follow Christ and to do the best I could to follow him. Even then, it's still been rocky, but it hasn't been the same. I can truly say with King David in Psalm 40, "I awaited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined to me and heard my cry. He also brought me up out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my steps. He has put a new song in my mouth, praise to our God. Many will see it and fear, and I will trust in the Lord." My life since I came to know Christ, I am now a new creation in Christ. The old is passing away and the new has come. I still have my struggles, but now there is grace and forgiveness. I am no longer blind. I know I don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the governors of evil and darkness. Now Sharon and I can hit the reset button with God and with each other and be in close communion with Christ. God comes first in our marriage. Now when the rocky times come, I know it is temporary. The Holy Spirit convicts me when I sin, and he lets me know how to get things right again. I can no longer live comfortably in sin. To live in sin is to walk away from God, and I need to be close to him. I never want to fall away from him like a dumb sheep. I need my shepherd. Through the new birth, I finally get it. It is a gift of God. His word is active in my heart now. I now can preach the word to unbelievers, and he gives me what I need to say at the necessary time. I can now speak life to my co-workers and friends. Lucifer was cast down from ruling my life. He's a deceiver and a father of lies. His two methods are either kill or destroy. This has been true from the beginning of time, and God has called me to be his child and share the truth of Christ that sets people free. Now that I'm saved, the Holy Spirit is active in me. He brings the Bible verses to mind he wants to speak. He illuminates my heart. It's not of me. It says the revelation and illumination of the Holy Spirit. Now I read the Bible, and he brings it back to me, and his word flows out of my heart. I don't want to be prideful. I want to be humble. I want Jesus Christ to have all the glory. The word of God is the truth. I want to point others to my Lord Jesus Christ now. I want to live a humble life of submission to my Lord now and forever. I cannot contain what he has done for me. As I come for membership at Living Hope, I want to confess that Jesus Christ is my friend, my Lord, my Savior, my truth, my righteousness, my God. He has saved me, and he keeps me close to himself. When I stray, he always comes back for me. What an amazing Savior and Lord I now serve. I'd like to leave a Bible verse with you. God doesn't withhold himself from us. This is why we are truly without an excuse. He's there, ready to save us. If you knock and seek, he will open to you. Matthew 7:7 says, "Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks," that's everyone, "receives. And he who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, it will be opened. Or what man is there among you who, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him?" Thank you.
Great is thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not, thy compassions, they fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever wilt be. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me.
Father, we are so grateful for the souls that you are saving. Lord, we are unworthy, all of us, to receive your generous gift of mercy and the blood that cleanses us from all of our sins. Thank you for the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Thank you for your body and these who have given their testimonies and have made themselves vulnerable to the body of Christ to share in the glory of what you have done. And Father, we thank you that our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. We bless you in Jesus' name. Amen. We'll return at